This audio is an original work of fantasy, created by an adult for adults only. If you are under the age of 18, you must stop listening now. Script and performance is copyright 2021 by Princess April. All rights reserved. Please do not rehost, repost, copy, or in any way attempt to circumvent my exclusive right to distribute this audio the way I see fit. I can be contacted on Reddit at uprincess_April. If you see this audio posted anywhere other than Reddit's family of Gone Wild Audio and related subreddits, Soundgasm, my Patreon page, or under another username, it may not be authorized. Thank you for listening, and enjoy. Oh, good morning, Professor. How was your weekend? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, I hope things get better for you soon. Me? Oh, I was here working. Well, I know I just started last week, but I'm very excited to be working with you, Professor. So I spent the last couple of days getting familiar with the lab, reviewing some of the latest research data, and just getting the lay of the land, you know? I want to make a good impression. Oh, no, I wasn't alone. I don't have my own lab key card yet. Mr. Childers was here with me. It was his suggestion. What? Cold? Why would it be cold? Okay. Oh, well, thank you, but I'd appreciate if you just keep your comments about my appearance to yourself, even if they are complimentary. Anyway, I just want you to know that you won't regret hiring me. I'm fully up to speed on the latest neuroscientific theories and drug therapies, and I spent the weekend at the lab because I wanted to get up to speed with what you've been working on here as fast as possible. I'm sorry, your wife? Oh, that's too bad. Okay. I'm sorry, can I just interrupt you for a second? I know I just asked how your weekend was before, but the truth is, I was just being polite. I don't really think I'm the appropriate person to talk to about troubles with your marriage. No, it's okay. This kind of thing happens to me surprisingly often, actually. Professor, can I be honest with you about something? I think it's just best to say this up front, okay? I know I'm inexperienced and fresh out of grad school. I'm also obviously female, and I know I try to be friendly. That's just who I am, okay? And because I'm young and some people think I'm attractive, that can make it harder for me to gain the respect I deserve among the largely male-dominated field of neuroscientific research. It's honestly something all women struggle with in this field. In any STEM field, actually. I mean, I'm not upset or anything. I know that well-intentioned men sometimes don't realize they're succumbing to sexist stereotypes and behaviors, especially when they feel insecure being around such a confident and intelligent woman. No, I don't mean to imply that you're doing anything like that intentionally, Professor. I just find it's best to be upfront and honest about these boundaries from the get-go. I don't want you to get the wrong impression. I'm not really here to be your friend. I'm not some kind of confidant or cheerleader that you can come to when you're having trouble with your personal life. I graduated in the top 5% of my class, and I have 2 degrees, one in neuroscience and another in pharmaceutical science. I'm your colleague, and given the historical disparity of respect and standing women struggle with in the scientific community, I just think it's a good idea if we fight against that by keeping things purely professional. I'm here for the research. And if I may make a suggestion, I really don't think you should bring your personal problems to the lab at all, okay? And I especially don't think you should be making disparaging comments about your wife here. To be honest with you, I had to have this talk with Mr. Childers as well. I mean, I don't want to get him in trouble or anything. I don't think it was anything he was aware he was doing. It's just, I do think it's important that he be made aware of these latent sexist attitudes, just like I'm trying to make you aware, despite your ignorance, so that you can do better next time. There's no hard feelings. Thank you for understanding. I know I talked to you about this in our interview, so I figured you'd probably be okay with a little reminder. And really, Mr. Childers didn't do anything wrong, so I'd appreciate it if you didn't discipline him this time, okay? Maybe you can just set up an office-wide sexual harassment seminar or something. That way everyone can benefit from it, and he won't be singled out. Thank you. I'm glad we cleared the air there. Why are you laughing? Oh, well, thank you. But that's why you hired me, right? Because I'm honest and sure of myself, and I can hold my own in a male-dominated environment. Well, thank you again. Anyway, I did have some questions about some of the data on one of the drugs you're developing. Well, specifically this Cortotasc drug candidate your lab's been working on for the last, 5 years? I'm a little confused as to why we're still working on it. It's obviously never going to be approved by the FDA. Excuse me? I'm sorry, could you repeat that? Oh my gosh. For a second there, it sounded like you said something else. Whew, that would have been awkward considering the talk we just got through having. Hop up on the lab counter? Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, well, anyway, it's certainly a fascinating pharmaceutical, and I understand its potential. A compound that literally compartmentalizes the human brain, allowing the subject to make use of a much higher percentage of the brain's potential than we do normally. In effect, it allows someone to time slice and multitask complex thought processes much more efficiently, potentially unlocking much higher levels of intelligence and analytical and inductive reasoning. It's a remarkable premise, but Professor, it's also fundamentally flawed. What? My skirt is really short, isn't it? Well, I've been looking at the data, and in practice, the drug just hasn't worked that way. Ow! Professor, what are you doing down there? Of course I didn't wear panties. Why would I? Anyway, as I was saying, I memorized the data, and I found that early trials did in fact increase brain utilization by approximately 25%, which is impressive. But it seems in practice, the tasks were clearly and definitively separated into conscious and unconscious processes. One task was completed with great acuity and efficiency, while the brain was clearly occupied with another task on a subconscious level, to the point that even the subject was not aware of what was happening. Yes, sir. They are spread open, sir. Ow, sir. I told you they're already spread as wide as I can. Yes, sir. Well, no, it seems to be a fundamental feature of the drug. As near as I can tell, there's no way to push those subconscious thought processes and behaviors into the conscious mind. No, but it is important, I think. There are sticky ethics concerns, Professor. Guidelines exist across several disciplines, including the medicinal field and the neurosciences, that are very persnickety about the consequences of unintended side effects. That will no doubt indefinitely delay the clinical approval of the drug by the FDA. Ow, Professor, you're squeezing too hard. My legs bruise easily. Okay. No, what I'm getting at is this. It does take a little inductive reasoning, though, so please try your best to follow my train of thought, okay? Ow! The problem with the drug and specifically, the problem with this dichotomous conscious-subconscious multitasking effect is that the chemical compound could be targeted to specific parts of the brain. It could be used in tandem with suggestive triggers or hypnotic influence to initiate an entire suite of persistent and ongoing behaviors in the subject that they are completely unaware of. In effect, and I know this sounds outrageous, but it could be used as a pharmacological means of mind control. And as groundbreaking and as exciting as that prospect is, completely and wholly unethical. It would be like a doctor cutting into someone's brain to do research on them while they're still alive. Only this is doing it to their mind, with consequences that are just as invasive and irreversible, without any consideration to one of the major tenets of Hippocrates' treatise called Of the Epidemics, which, by the way, is commonly mistaken to be part of the Hippocratic Oath. First do no harm. I could give you an example I thought of how this drug might be used if it somehow made its way into the wrong hands. Do you want to hear it? Oh, yes, sir. You want me on my knees first? Yes, sir. Well, let's take the example of the typical neuroscience lab in which most employees are sexist males, with the exception of a single female research assistant. Granted, this is an extreme example, but I think it's important to illustrate my point. What if you, for example, were to give me, for example, this drug? And you were looking for a specific subconscious effect. Let's say you found me attractive and you were unhappy with your wife. Maybe you wished you could make me do things sexually. That she refused to do. And you wanted to use me to cheat on her. Of course, I would never agree to have sex with you consciously. We both know that, Professor. But with the proper tuning of the drug, which could be delivered without my knowledge in my morning coffee, for example. And the proper suggestive influences, which could be delivered through an email or a text on my phone or even a unique offensive phrase that you speak to me and I immediately forget. You could very quickly make me compliant with your sexual advances in such a way that I was never consciously aware of it. It is completely within the realm of possibility that you could be using me for sex, and I wouldn't even know it. My brain would completely block it out. I'm serious, Professor. You could be doing the most obscene and disgusting things you could possibly think of to me right now. The kinds of things that would stimulate your sexist male brain and reinforce your worldview that attractive young women like me have no place in a scientific lab. Or for that matter, a useful place in society beyond my suitability for becoming a sex toy. Or a breeding whore to satisfy the male patriarchy. And I wouldn't even be conscious of it. The drug would be so efficient at hiding what you had done to me and compartmentalizing the activity in my brain that it's likely the only way it would manifest itself in my conscious mind is as some kind of persistent, recurring, embarrassing sexual fantasy or daydream during my periods of most advanced mental acuity. Oh, good morning, Dr. Olson. Oh, yes, of course. I remember our meeting. I'll see you there in about 10 minutes, okay? Okay. Ow! Sorry, sir. Yes, sir. I'll bend over the counter again. See you later, Dr. Olson. Anyway, those daydreams, they would no doubt trigger automatic sexual responses in my body, like chills on my skin, hardening my nipples, and an embarrassing wetness between my legs as I'm trying to complete important and delicate lab work. Oh, yes, sir. Pull my pigtails. Yes, sir. But do you understand what I'm saying, Professor? Do you grasp the potential complications? Ow! And implications? Oh, fuck, ow! That the research and release of a drug like this could have on the world? Particularly women? Fuck! It's going in my ass, Professor! Oh, fuck! Hold me down and pull my hair. It's actually pretty terrifying. Men could potentially use a specially targeted variant of this drug on women as a new kind of date rape. They could get them talking about politics or work or movies or pop culture, all while fucking their brains out in some disgusting public bathroom somewhere with the women not even realizing what's happening. Ow, Professor, that hurts. My ass. Oh, God. Yes. Choke me, Professor. Choke me. But even worse than that, though, it could be used repeatedly for programming certain behavior. Like, for example, in our purely fictional alternate universe neurosciences lab, you could use it on me consistently. Over the course of, say, as little as a week, you could have me effectively programmed to wear tiny skirts and tight tops, completely inappropriate for the workplace, but totally appropriate for a stupid, shameless slut who clearly wants to be used and fucked and sexually degraded by her misogynistic co-workers. You could remove my desire to subvert the patriarchy and train my subconscious to groom myself every morning by shaving my legs and pussy, applying whorish makeup. Ow! Ow! Perhaps even putting my hair up in pigtails to satisfy some disgusting schoolgirl fetish for my boss. And engaging in completely obscene behavior for the free and unrestricted use by all employees. You could even program me to bend over on demand, lift my skirt, and take any cock that's presented to me up my asshole. That's the power of this horrific drug, Professor. Ow! Oh, God! Professor, it's too much. My ass! Fuck! Oh! Ow! Oh! Thank you. Thank you for taking it out. That feels better, sir. On my knees again? Yes, sir. Anyway, I know I'm outlining particularly extreme scenarios with my silly thought experiments, but I'm saying all this to illustrate a point. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm positive that was not the intent when you were researching this compound, right? You don't want the medication you developed to be perverted into some kind of new date rape drug, do you? Or worse, into some kind of long-term means of mind control for the permanent sexual enslavement of a woman? Women, especially women like me, are vulnerable, Professor. Men are horrible. And if you give them a power like that, they'll just abuse it. They'll take it to extremes. And before you know it, women won't be women anymore. They'll just be toys. Yes, on my face, all over my face. Yes, sir. All over me. You're right, Professor. I'm a stupid cum dump. Yes, sir. I'll eat it for you. Thank you, Professor. Thank you. So, anyway, what do you think? I think we should remove the drug from FDA consideration and destroy all the research. I really do. Oh. Really? Yeah. Naturally. You're right. My imagination is getting the better of me. Yes, of course you're right, Professor. I can't believe I let myself fall into that trap. You're right. I'm letting emotion and personal trauma get in the way of objective scientific analysis. Oh my gosh. And to think, I was giving you a hard time for doing that exact same thing earlier. With your wife? No. Thank you for being so upfront and honest with me. Of course. Of course these risk factors can be mitigated, Professor. You're absolutely right. Yes, naturally. The drug is still relatively early in its approval process, and there are several more iterations to the formula to come. It does hold great promise for patients of Alzheimer's and other long-term dementia disorders, not to mention its potential profitability for use in overall mental acuity enhancement for otherwise healthy individuals. Of course, Professor. Honestly, I apologize. Look at me. I've only been here a week, and I'm already trying to change the operating parameters of your lab without having really given your in-place procedures and safety protocols a chance. Anyway, thank you for listening. And honestly, thank you for understanding about the whole leave your personal life at home request. I really am just here for the work. I believe in the work, and I'm honored to be here, truly. Oops, I've got that meeting with Dr. Olson in a few minutes. I think I need to go to the ladies' room and freshen up first, so if you'll excuse me. Thanks again, Professor. Just so you know, I'm always available. Whenever you need me, okay? Okay. Thank you.